Well, happy New Year, you guys, and welcome to this first group of Chloe with Love and Relationships of the year. I hope everyone had a good holiday season. I am in Los Angeles, so I've been dealing with the fires for the last few days. So please excuse my voice is a little raw, from the smoke, and I'm a little congested, but I wanted to get back and get into the group and see what's happening with you guys. So, my name is Chloe Ballatore. I am a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute, and I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne, the tools of androgynous semantic realignment as created by Pat Allen, and tools that I've come up with myself because I've been doing this work for over a decade now. And when I was considering whether or not I should do the group tonight, because of everything that's been happening in LA. And the tragedies and the fires. I decided to go for it for a number of reasons, but one of them is that the tools that I teach, even though my specialty is love and relationships, the tools that I teach have really helped me during this specific crisis. All of these tools are backed by psychological, scientific scholarship and the principles of yin and yang, which are thousands of years old. At least we have records of them for being thousands of years old. And so, if you are listening to this and you are dealing with a tragedy right now, please know that every tragedy has a silver lining. And that really is the basic concept of yin yang, is that every tragedy has a silver lining and every success has a shadow. Okay. And it's this balancing of yin and yang that creates the most successful relationships. It's the balance of yin and yang energy both within ourselves and with our partners. Ultimately, every relationship is about the relationship that you have with yourself. But yin and yang, also known as feminine and masculine, these principles are key to this work. And there's a lot of misunderstanding of what yin and yang, masculine and feminine, what these things mean. Okay, so I'm going to give a brief definition of this. This isn't technically my work. The tools to execute on this scholarship is what makes this work unique, but I like to give a brief introduction so that everybody's on the same page. And I want to make it clear that all of us have yin and yang. All of us are feminine and masculine, okay? And one isn't better than the other. Feminine's not better than masculine, and masculine's not better than feminine, okay? All of us have our own authentic balance that perhaps changes throughout times, as connoted by the swish and the wave in the yin yang symbol. And even in our romantic relationships, because as women get older, our estrogen drops off and we get a little more masculine. And as men get older, their testosterone drops off and they get a little more feminine. And so, understanding these dynamics, knowing how to balance the energy, these are things that really, really give you an advantage in life and specifically in your relationships. And those of you who have been with me before know that when you use these tools, you do have an advantage. Okay. So, what's feminine and masculine? Because there's a lot of confusion about what these things mean. So, feminine energy is in the right brain. Okay. There have been definitive studies already done by Roger Sperry, who dissected the brains of newts, who proved that all of us have a right brain and a left brain. The right side of the brain is more feeling centered. It's passive, patient, vulnerable. It's the seat of imagination, creativity, sensuality, sexuality. This is the world of feelings, of nonlinear thought, of creativity. Feminine energy is in the world to make it fun. It's not of the world. Okay. And then all of us have the yang side or the left brain, which is the seat of singular thought. It's doing, it's conquering, competing, controlling, it's giving, taking care of. Okay, it's achieving. And most of us are in our masculine side when we're at work, right? Because work doesn't really have room, a lot of room for feelings. Now, men can be still feminine driven, and women can still be masculine driven. So I want people to understand that these energies aren't necessarily about the gender you're born with. Often they line up, but I'd say like 25 to 15% of the time, I'll work with a man who's very feminine and a woman who's very masculine. And that works too. You need to have one of each because complementary energies help the relationship thrive and survive over time. Okay. What you don't want to have is two feminine energy people because they will fight for sympathy. And if you have two masculine energy people, they will fight for control. So, one of the first questions I usually ask my clients is, which is more important to you in your personal relationships? Do you want your feelings cherished or do you want your thoughts respected? Everybody wants both, but which is more important? And that's one way that we identify if you're a more feminine centered person or a more masculine centered person. Now, oftentimes our authentic balance and the information about whether we're feminine or masculine can get muddled or confused if we've had any kind of childhood trauma, which most people have, at least most people I work with. And usually problems with relationships ultimately stem from childhood trauma. When we're from the ages of 0 to 12, we have several developmental windows that come in pretty quickly. And the things that happen during this time tends to have a greater impact on us than anything else that happens later in life, simply because of the time that it's happening. So human children tend to be very dependent, right? We're not one of those species that gets born and then just runs off into the forest by ourselves. And so being dependent on our elders means that sometimes as a child, we have to sacrifice our authenticity in favor of attachment, in favor of getting along with the people who control our lives, run the refrigerator, right? Buy us clothes, whatever it is. And based on these interactions, we often make what are known as survival conclusions. Now, oftentimes we believe that these survival conclusions are existential truths, and we either subconsciously, unconsciously, or consciously carry this information into our adult life and into our relationships. And ironically, it's the strategies that we use to cope as children that are often the number one problem when we go out into our intimate relationships. And so that's something that I help people with a lot is discovering what is holding you back that you can fix within yourself, right? Because there's a ton of stuff we can't control. But oftentimes people focus on trying to control other people in a relationship rather than managing themselves. And so that's another cornerstone of this work is that we focus on getting ourselves right. You do your work and you hope to God your partner does theirs. But I'll tell you, if they don't, my experience is that you either work with your current partner and the relationship gets better, or your next partner is a level up. And if you do this work assiduously, your life will continue to level up. I've been doing it for over 10 years. Actually, it's the results of this work that drew me into it because I wasn't really into therapy. I was kind of sick of that. Like, here's all my problems, and you just listen, but you say nothing, but I pay you $200. Like, my life's not changing. Sometimes that's a nice experience to have, but I think it's a limited experience. But I saw a huge, huge change in a friend who went from being a very young, single teenage mom, always struggling for rent, always struggling for money, not in a relationship. In 3 years after doing this work, she had a job paying over $1 million a year. She married the guy of her dreams. I mean, it was kind of incredible. And when I saw all the changes she made, that's when I was interested. I was already married at the time, so it wasn't like I was looking to find somebody, but I did like to see those results, and I knew there was something special in this work. I didn't really understand it the first night. So if this is your first time, that's okay. It will start to sink in after a while, and it sinks in deeper when you do some of the exercises that I'm give you, and I give you certain tools to help you get what you want. Everything's driven by you, what you want, and by you attempting to get what you want. So I have no agenda. I'll help you get a divorce, even if I don't think it's a good idea. It's driven by what you want. And so that's my little shtick. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. I've written 4 books on this work. They're all available on Amazon. Let me put my credentials into the chat. So if you like this work, you can look at some of my links. I've got a lot of stuff on my website, chloesconsciousnesstraining.com. Oh, dot squarespace.com. Here we go. And I also teach this work in small groups a few times a year. If you're interested in that, you want to have a small, more private setting. We go over my books, and we get homework. And it's really great. It's really intimate. They usually run for 4 weeks, and you will go through something during that 4 weeks. That's the point. If you do this work, you will see changes in your life. So if you don't want to see changes in your life, then don't do it. Most people who come here do, though. Okay, so now I'm going to open it up to questions. I see there's already one in the chat from Dave. Is it possible to have a 50-50 split or close to it between masculine and feminine? Okay, so do you mean in a relationship or within yourself? Dave?
That's just in myself.
In yourself.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm really glad you brought that up. When you have a very strong feminine side and a very strong masculine side, that's what's known as an alpha. Okay, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what an alpha is. But alphas are those who have a strong masculine side and a strong feminine side. And that means that you're often arguing between your heart and your head. That's why this work is going to be great for you, because this helps you with a decision-making rubric so that that argument doesn't carry on indefinitely. And this work is actually really meant for alphas. If you're all one thing, you really don't have that much of a dilemma in life, right? If you're just a beta and you're just 100% masculine or mostly masculine, you're achieving, you're buying cars, you're doing stuff. It's like there's no real dilemma. Okay. So this work is really for that 10 to 20% of the population that has a strong feminine side and a strong masculine side and is kind of looking for a way to balance it. So you're in the right place. Do you have a question for me? Are you single? Are you looking to be in a relationship?
Okay, I'm single and looking to be in a relationship. I was divorced about almost 4 years ago.
Okay. Do you know which one you like more? Do you want your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected?
That's a good question. I guess that's why I'm 50-50. I guess maybe a little bit, well, probably a little bit more my feelings respected, or my feelings, what was it, feelings heard?
Feelings cherished or
Sure.
thoughts respected. One is control
Yeah.
and one is sympathy.
I'd say probably a little bit more of feelings cherished, but let's say like 55, 45, something like
Okay.
that.
Okay. And since you're so even, I want to just tell you, you may find yourself in situations with either or, and you could try dating a more masculine woman and seeing how that goes, and dating a more feminine woman and seeing how that goes. You may find a woman who's kind of equal, like you are, in which case, and that's kind of how my husband and I are. He's a little more on the masculine side. I'm a little more on the feminine side. But what that means then is if you start with an idea, then you ask about her feelings. And if you start with a feeling, then you ask about her thoughts. So you can kind of fudge it a little bit. Now, look, it's not like you got to be doing this all the time. You're in your relationship, you're enjoying yourself. If it's working, great. But these tools are for sticky situations, awkward situations, and conflicts. And I'll tell you, when you get in a conflict, that is when these tools really help. And they also help in dating, first dates, reeling that person in. Those are also very awkward situations, right? Okay, so you want your feelings cherished. What are you doing to meet women? Are you interested in women, men, or both, or?
Women and
Okay.
so I'm retired, and so most of the people my age are still working, so most of my attempts, well, really all of my active attempts to meet women is through online dating.
Okay.
Thankfully it's been pretty successful for me. None of my dating experiences have turned into a long-term relationship though at this point.
So why are you saying they've been successful?
Well, in numerically, I guess I'll say I go on a pretty fair number of dates.
Okay. So you're going out a lot. Okay. Well, that's
Yeah.
good. That is a good form of success. And look, the apps are useful. Some people get really burnt out on them. I do think meeting people in person works a little bit better, but you can, that doesn't mean you can't meet somebody on an app. But what I want to augment your app dating with is doing some in-person flirting, which since you are retired, you got time to do. So I want you flirting 5 days a week.
Okay.
Four of those days are just going to be in the course of your day, okay?
Okay.
And when you're walking your dog or you're going to the gym, excuse me. If you're going to the grocery store, wherever you are, if you see a woman that catches your eye, that you like the look of, the vibe of, whatever, the energy of, because it's not really about looks, it's really about energy. Somebody can be very good looking and you could still be not attracted to them because their energy's off. And vice versa, somebody can be not very attractive, but their energy's so good that you are completely turned on and fall in love. But you see somebody that you're interested in, you're going to give them 5 seconds of eye contact and smile. Okay?
Okay.
So flirting is all in the eyes. If they return that, okay, the masculine way is if they return the eye contact and smile, then you can make your move. Not just a quick one, but they really respond. But if you want to be in the feminine mode, you can do the eye contact and smile and just kind of like sidle up, or you can let the woman make the first move. And then that would be the woman would be the masculine. Whoever speaks first is the yang energy, the
Okay.
masculine energy. Okay. So that's 4 days a week. Then 1 day a week, I want you to go and plant yourself somewhere, whether it be the golf course, whether it be a Starbucks, near yoga class, wherever it is you go. Wherever you think you might like the look of the women there, hotel bar, you can play with it a little bit, dog park. Plant yourself 45 minutes to an hour, go alone because it's way easier. I just recently had somebody who wanted me to go out with their 21-year-old son and help him, like in the wild, do dating. But the truth is, it's way easier for you on your own to meet someone when you're alone. That goes for men or women. So go alone, plant yourself 45 minutes to an hour, do your eye contact and smile, and see what happens. See if you can't get something going. And if you keep going to the same place regularly, that helps because people get to know you and then they feel like they're building trust with you. So try that. Now, if you're in the feminine mode, you're in your yin energy, and you want to get your feelings cherished, then you're going to be leading with your feelings, okay? If you're in your yang energy, you're going to be leading with your thoughts, okay? So that's simply, and a little, I understand that when I say those things, it doesn't necessarily conjure something up, but it literally means, I think this, how do you feel about it? I feel this way, what do you think about it? So play with that a little bit.
Okay.
And let me know how it goes. And
Sure.
see, with you doing your in-person and you're doing your online dating, that'll just double your chances of meeting someone. Because when you're online, it takes a minute to match and then chat and then meet up. But if you meet someone in person, you know right away if you have chemistry, right?
Yeah.
You can test compatibility, you can test communication online, but the third element that you need for long-term relationship is chemistry. So I look forward to you reporting back and letting me know how it goes.
All right, I'll do that.
Thanks for sharing, Dave. Okay. GJD. If a man likes both thoughts respected and feelings empathized again. Okay. Yes. Okay. So GJD. Everybody wants both, including me. Why do we do this? Because we, when you When in a conflict, we use these tools to avoid a power struggle. Okay. So, yes, you can at times still get your thoughts respected, and you can at other times still, it's not that you can never get your feelings cherished. And obviously, if these are positive things, you don't need to make a big deal about it, right? I feel great when you do that. People are always ha happy to hear that. The problem comes up with conflicts. And so when you have conflicts, that's when you want to decide where you're at. And if you choose the thoughts, then you need to give the partner the feelings. Why? Because if you take up all the thoughts and feelings, your partner has nowhere to go. You're a narcissist. You're acting like a narcissist, which all of us can do. Everyone has that potential. And you're giving your partner nowhere to go because you've taken all the thoughts and feelings. Okay? So it really helps, and if you're having conflicts with people, using the rubric of stroke and stand, which is in my first book, How to Live, really helps diffuse conflicts in a very clear way. And it's not that these tools will, eliminate conflicts from your life, but they very much mitigate them. And you save a lot of time and energy when you're using these tools, okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes, that helps. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you have anything else, or are you good now?
Oh, you know what, Chloe? By the way, is it Chloe or Dr. Bellatore or?
Chloe's fine.
Okay. By the way, Bellatore sounds Italian, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Ciao, Paisan. I'm Italian also. Anyway, the other question I have of is when you say either lead with your feelings or lead with your thoughts. What exactly would you mean by lead? Just open-ended questions about feelings, open-ended questions about thoughts. Is that what you mean by lead? I'm trying to find out what does lead mean?
So yeah, if you're starting the con if you're in the masculine, which means you're starting the conversation, probably not always, but maybe, you would lead with your thoughts about something. God, I think this is the best coffee shop in LA. Do you like it? How do you feel about it? Like that. Or I feel cold in here. Do you think you can close the door? Right?
Okay.
I'm giving you really simple ones. I know sometimes it's hard to understand this. If you have a specific conflict in mind, I can workshop it with you and then you'll maybe able to see it a little bit more clearly. But it just means like you don't always have to do this, but First of all, it's important to know the difference between thoughts and feelings. So saying, I feel like you're a jerk, that's not a feeling, okay? That's a thought. Feelings are one word. I feel sad, I feel insecure, I feel confident, I feel happy, I feel angry. So first understanding the difference between thoughts and feelings is important. And then once you're there, then you gotta pick a side. Well, of course you don't got to. And a lot of people get pissed off. I don't like this either sometimes. I don't like that I have to pick one or the other. But this is what I have found, and I have helped thousands of other people discover the same thing, that these are the dynamics that we live in on this planet. We live in a planet that is based on duality, right? There's night and day, there's fire and water, there's black and white, and all the gradations in between. And so this really helps you balance the energies of the relationship so that you're not fighting all the time, so that you're not having a power struggle all the time. Mostly, I would say, especially in Los Angeles, we live in a very masculinized world that's very based on achievements and doing. We have also, we're 70 years into feminism, which has been a great thing for the workforce, but isn't really a psychological movement and doesn't necessarily help women in relationships to be very strong and independent. A lot of women who have had any kind of childhood trauma often think that they need to be strong and independent. And when in fact, if they want to be in their feminine energy, what they need to be is vulnerable in a relationship, which is kind of the opposite. But again, people who've had childhood trauma aren't real excited to be vulnerable. So I help people a lot with that. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, very much so. And I'm getting the idea about lead with your thought or lead with your feelings. And at the very last paragraph, the very last phrase that you mentioned, you'll help people deal with their maybe childhood traumas. I think I might have had that growing up a little bit. Parents always were yelling at each other, and then my mother was extremely critical. So I think that kind of affected my relationships. But I checked out your website. We'll be in contact. Thank you, Chloe.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean, you guys, I'm trying to give you the introduction to this work in this group, and it's part of building this community. But a lot of times we can't go as deep as we want to. The group is great because we learn how much we have in common, and it's a support system. But it's also nice to have that, like those private moments where we can really go deep and understand what the roots of some of these things are and how we can fix them and really get more of what we want out of life. Okay. Do we have any other questions? I'm not seeing anything in the chat. If you do have a question, raise your hand. Hi, Roel. What's your question?
Well, it's more of an update, and since we have 30 minutes, I have a lot of time.
Yeah, shoot.
I'm just kidding. So, no, I just wanted to share with you in the group that, I met my partner through Match.com and all that, and it was interesting because prior to meeting her, I was was in the middle of a divorce. And I pretty much felt like I was never ever going to get married. But then I got into the honeymoon phase with Anna, my partner. And I thought, marriage does seem like a possibility for me, and her. But recently, because she moved the bar again on me regarding my looking at meetups, I mean, on Instagram, because of,
Yeah.
yeah. So I kind of
Wait, did
like,
she move it again since we talked last?
yes. So I had to finally just shut it down because she just kept moving that bar,
Right.
and I realized that at this point, it's just going to be a struggle, constant struggle. So
Right.
I've let it go, but I think the consequence of that is that now I don't think that marriage would make things better between us.
Huh.
I just feel that it would make things harder. And I don't know if you've ever heard that comment before, but that's what my takeaway is.
I
Sometimes,
think that's interesting.
yeah.
I mean, I definitely understand where you're coming from. And for those of you guys who aren't updated on Raul's situation, his girlfriend objects to him looking at Instagram, specifically looking at pictures of women on Instagram. And we've worked to negotiate that that was okay. And now it sounds like it's no longer okay. And
Correct.
so it's not like there's a right or wrong, but it's really in a relationship, it's what can you negotiate, okay? So we did negotiate something that Anna agreed to. Then now she's said no, she can't do that. And you've said, okay, I'm not gonna make a huge deal. I won't look at Instagram. But the price tag of that, and everything we do in life has a prize and a price tag. Okay? That's what I was talking about before. Every shadow has a victory, and every victory has a shadow. Every catastrophe has a silver lining. So the price tag of what she did, of asking her, you to do it and you doing it, eroded the trust that you have with her. And I understand why, and I know that obviously I know the history of, we've talked about it many times. But I get it. I totally get it, because you made an agreement, she went back on the agreement. And I know in your mind, it doesn't seem reasonable that you love her very much and you want to be with her and you don't want to upset her. But I know, and tell me if I'm wrong, what it sounds like to me is why marriage is off the table now is because you don't feel accepted by her in a way.
Correct. Like I think that in the beginning, I felt like she totally got me, and I felt like she was willing to accept, like 90% of me. But I feel like that percentage is sliding.
Right. Yes. And you know what? That's such a good point, because unfortunately, this is a trend that we often see in relationships. And I really encourage people not to fall into the trap of trying to change their partner. Okay. Mostly people aren't going to change. You can change some little things. You should pretty much expect that if you're having problems in your relationship, that around 70% of those problems are not solvable. Okay. And so it's very important that we learn to accept or reject each other without shooting on one another. And I know that that's also been an issue with you guys that we've worked on, has been not her not shooting on you about the Instagram, not attaching a value. And I think she's gotten there with that. I think, she's been pretty successful with that. But still, certain things were said, and I know you experienced shame the way she was talking about the Instagram. And what I'm guessing is that that eroded some of your comfortability, and you just don't feel as accepted as you did in the beginning.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, you as time goes on, you find out, like, oh, okay, so now you have a problem with this, and now you have a problem with that.
Right. So there, every relationships have periods, and the first 3 months, like Raul was talking about, is the honeymoon period, right? That's when it's a perfect period. It's like you guys, neither of you can do no any wrong. You're cover of Oprah magazine, best couple of the year. Next 3 months is called the imperfect phase. Okay. That's when you start to see some of the cracks here, right? And then 6 to 9 months is when you see if you can negotiate a relationship. I don't recommend getting married to anyone if you haven't known them at least a year. At 3 years, the romantic projection falls off. So that's when you really start to get to know somebody. And then there's another change at about 10 years where you completely reinvent yourself. And again, there's more about these cycles in my book. But so it makes sense. I mean, what you're saying, Raul, basically is tracking along that. It's perfect in the beginning, then you start to see problems, and you start to see those problems, a lot of them aren't going to go away. Now, I don't want to take away from anybody who's in a relationship and changing and trying to make it work. That's really great. That's admirable work. We need that, obviously. the worst thing you can be is unteachable. So it's very important to be open to new ways of being, which is the title of my second book. But it's very important. It's also very painful when we're going through changes, even changes for the better. And so people often get scared when they're doing changes, when they're making changes, even though they're for the better, because it can be very painful. So I walk people through that too. Pain is either a sign that change is taking place or it needs to take place. And it's important to be able to differentiate between those two things. But basically, what you're saying makes sense, and you're tracking along the periods of the relationship. So thank you for sharing, Raul.
Yeah, I think that what I was, it took us a while to get to this point, but one of the things I asked him, I mean, one of the things he commented on was he says, "I wish this didn't bother me, but it does." And then I thought, well, if you're wanting to not bother you, why aren't you doing the work to fix
Right.
it?
Why isn't she talking to herself about it and saying, Raul looking at girls on Instagram doesn't mean he's going to cheat on me? Because I know that's the underlying fear, right?
Yeah.
But we can't force anyone, right?
Right.
We've talked about it, and I still have hope. I still think I think you guys might get past it. But maybe not, because some of that episcopating and that Catholic girl scripting is pretty strong. Okay. But good for you, for compromising and hanging in there and, not breaking up because of it. I mean, you've been really logical about it. So give yourself a pat on the back for that. And she's been honest about it too. You guys are both, there's a lot of love there. Okay. Does anybody else have another question? Doesn't have to be about dating and relationships. It could be about communication or a family problem or a work problem. I know sometimes it's hard to share in an anonymous group. Sometimes it's easier though. I'm gonna put my credentials in again in case anybody wants to connect with a private or sign up for one of the modules. Those will probably be starting up soon. So there's a lot of collateral where you can learn more about this work. I didn't invent this work. I'm really a channel for this work. I don't take that full credit. I started in a group much like this one, except it was in person and it was actually all women and it wasn't free. But I found that it worked for me, and then I got so good at it, people were hitting me up all the time. So I trained with Dr. Pat. Okay. Nelson, most men have approach anxiety with women in public. How do you overcome this? Okay. So usually, Nelson, this is a matter of incremental desensitization. One of the ways, I can't remember if you came in when I was already talking about the five flirts, but one of the ways you can sort of mitigate your rejection, the number of times that you're rejected is by getting that eye contact before you approach. Here, where's Nelson? Hi, Nelson. Can I ask you a question, Nelson, or you don't want to stay muted? Okay. Well, I'll do my best to answer your question with you on mute. Maybe you're driving or something. Okay. So, first of all, rejection's part of the game. And we do need to be willing to accept this if we want to get the opposite of rejection, which is acceptance. Okay, you're at work. That's fine. So, when you get rejected, try to keep it in perspective. The rejection hurts a lot, again, because it triggers that original wound, that original childhood trauma, that time when you felt rejected by probably an adult in your life. Maybe it was a colleague, a fellow child. That's why it hurts so much. But in reality, it's very important to remind yourself, this is a complete stranger who doesn't know you. Okay? So internalizing rejection isn't really logical, even though it happens a lot. So that's the first step. Now, the second step is when you're doing your flirting, and if you're in the masculine energy, you're going to, when you see someone you like, you're going to give them 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile. And if that feminine energy person responds with eye contact and a smile, that's your signal to approach. If you want to be in the feminine energy, you still do the eye contact and the smile. And that's your signal to that person that they can approach. Now, the caveat to that is if you, feminine energy usually doesn't talk first, but unless you ask for help, okay? So you never get fully over the rejection, but what I want you to do is, or you never get fully rid of it, but what I want you to do is start giving yourself credit for trying. A lot of times when we talk about manifesting, we're talking about manifesting things. I did a reel on this recently. We're talking about manifesting things that aren't even in our control. I want to meet a guy and get married this year. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you can control the amount of effort you can put in. You can control whether or not you're going to do the 5 flirts every week. You can control if you're going to make efforts, if you're going to go up and talk to a girl who's given you 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile, for example, or a guy, whatever, or a they, whatever. This work goes everywhere, because even in homosexual relationships, there's a top and a bottom. You still need to have this dynamic of yin and yang at play. So that takes the competitiveness out of the relationship. Competitiveness is great at work. It's not great in relationships. So that's kind of how you get over it. It's incremental desensitization. You just got to accept, it's not going to go great if I get rejected, but I'm going to go do it anyway. And the more you do that, the more your confidence builds, because all that energy and all that fear on the other side of that is your confidence, is your security, is your faith in yourself, is your hope. Okay? So you never want to leave when you're getting triggered. You want to push through that moment, because otherwise the trigger gains power. So start with the 5 flirts. If you're speaking first, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You just, hey, nice sweater. You know, it doesn't have to be anything big. If you've already gotten the eye contact and the smile, you know, and then you start building on that. Not every girl you approach is going to say yes or be interested. It's not always going to work. Or you'll approach, have a good conversation, and nothing will come of it. Sometimes that happens. That's frustrating. But again, the more that you can focus on the effort that you're putting through, because you do have something that you are trying to overcome, which is your sensitivity to rejection, you just don't want that to get in the way of your finding love. That would be tragic. Okay, I hope that explains it. I apologize if you mentioned this and just missed it, but how would one choose between using feminine or masculine energy when trying to meet someone? Right, because you're my even guy. You know, sometimes I have a client who was doing this for a while. He wanted to be in the masculine energy, but he liked a girl who was also very much in the masculine energy. And so he decided he could tell she was in the masculine energy, because she's bossy and she's kind of controlling and she's very high achieving. These are masculine attributes. So he's like, I'm gonna try it because I really like this girl. I'm gonna try to go into the feminine energy. And so, you know, the jury's still a little bit out on it. It didn't really work because he really wants to be in the masculine energy. But I do recommend that you trial and error, you know, try it. Like I said to you when you asked the question, try a couple times. You know, you suss out your prey. If you see a woman who looks like she might be or is acting like a little bit more masculine, a little more aggressive, then you might want to use the feminine approach. Okay? If you see a woman that you like and she's more demure or mindful, then you might want to use the masculine approach. So it's really about It's really about trial and error and seeing where it's at, where you're at, where you can get traction, and what you turns out what you want the most. And sometimes we don't know what we want until we try it. You know, humans are kind of bad at knowing what we want. Okay. I left a book back in Philadelphia, where I'm from. That author listed four stages of dating: dating non-committal, dating committed exclusive. Well, I don't know about that book. But typically in dating, there's a courting phase and then there's the relationship phase. And those two phases are slightly different. In the courting phase, the man, the yang energy, is doing a little bit more of the work. Then once you get into the relationship phase, it can be a little more give and take, maybe like 2 to 1. So that's a difference. You know, there's a lot of people offering advice, doing this work, whatever. You guys have to sift through that yourself. I will tell you with this work, with this specific relationship work, with these specific tools, I have never seen results like I do with this work. And that's what I really like. This work is very results oriented. So if you want results, if you want to change your life, if you want to actually find love, this work is kind of phenomenal. It really does give you an edge. Like I've said before, sometimes people ask me if I'm a witch, and I'm not a witch, but sometimes it seems like I can predict the future because I know these dynamics and this work very well. Okay. Yes, Raul.
Oh no, I wanted to comment that I never really saw like the James Bond movies when I was younger, but now I started watching them, and I saw and I was noticing that there was a trend started back then of women throwing themselves at James Bond, and I think
Right.
that that's and I think that that's kind of like what some guys hope for is that they're that a woman just throw herself at him, but. That's all very Hollywood.
Yeah. And, you know, James Bond is notorious for not having commitments or relationships, also. You know, that's fine for like a one-nighter if you want to, you know. And obviously, you know, you can throw yourself at a more feminine man, but that because that would be really a little bit more masculine, right? But if James Bond, who's you know ostensibly very masculine, throwing yourself at him probably wouldn't lead to a long-term relationship. That's not doesn't mean you couldn't have great sex, which you know obviously James Bond indulges in quite a bit. But yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, and you know you've been in this group a while, so we've had men who, even though they say they want to be masculine, seem to only respond when a woman throws themselves at them. But then they get frustrated, right? Because they're not in control. So he who speaks first is masculine. If you don't make the first move, then don't complain that you're not in control. And that was a problem that I was having with that client for a while. Was that he was stating that he wanted to be in the masculine, but yet didn't make the first move. And so masculine women were very attracted to him because they perceived him as feminine. He was doing the eye contact and smile, but not making the move. And so masculine woman would then hit on him, and then he would be upset. Oh, this woman's too aggressive, da 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 da. Okay. So, you know, control has a downside, and so does manipulation has a downside, which is the feminine component. Control and manipulation, these aren't inherently negative terms. It's okay to control a woman if you cherish her feelings. It's okay to manipulate a man if you show respect. So, you know, I mean, a manipulation is wearing makeup. So, okay. Okay, well, if there's no more questions, I'm going to wrap it up. I usually do this for about an hour. Oh, JG. You have one more question?
Yes, I was the one that asked about. I have this book, have four stages of
Yeah, I
relationship.
saw that.
I think like the first one was just like dating, almost like a job interview. You want to date multiple people just to see how they are, because sometimes people when they go on a date one day, they feel like oh, okay, we're like boyfriend girlfriend now already.
Right. And
They
that's really
want.
important that people understand that if less that you've articulated a commitment, you're not in a committed relationship.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. This This one author, anyway, had four relations. The first is just dating, just a, like a job interview. Two, it gets a little more exclusive. Three, a little bit more exclusive. And finally, committed exclusive relationship. There's nobody else, just the two of you. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because, like, two things. One, a lot of people, as I already mentioned, they like, oh, they want to get married. It seems like they're like going to first grade and they're trying to pick up what college they want to go to. It just seems too premature.
Too rushed, yeah.
Thank you. And the thing is, like I kind of like want to meet women, but I think a lot of women, if I meet like one person, they say, oh, are you still on that dating app? I want you to get off that dating app. And I haven't even met them yet. We're texting.
Yeah, that's
It's
unreasonable. But that's good that you're seeing that because that's very unreasonable. And once you start learning these tools, you start being able to see some of these red flags really early on. Why should you get out of the dating app? You haven't even met yet. That's absurd. You until you meet someone, you don't know if you have chemistry. And so sometimes I'll have people come to me and they'll be like, "I'm in a relationship with someone I met on a dating app. We're going to meet next year." It's like, "No, you're not in a relationship if you haven't met." So I think it's really
Well,
important.
could I ask what would be a good way for me or any man or woman to say, hey, look, we just met. I'm dating all the people without them getting offended that I'm seeing like a bunch of people. That it's not like I'm seeing a bunch of, like they might think you're seeing a bunch of people, but it's not like that. We don't really know each other. Even like let's say you go on one date or two date with one person, and then the second person might think, well, you went 2 days with, they
Okay,
I'm
so
trying to.
if a woman is asking you to get out off the app, she's trying to take control of the relationship. Okay? And not only that, but she's doing that without cherishing your feelings. So you have the first thing problem, which is the fact that she's trying to take control. And then the second problem, which is the fact that she's not cherishing your feelings. It's not going to work for you. That right there is not going to work because you want to be in the masculine. She's already trying to, she may not be conscious of it, she may not be aware of it, but what she's trying to do in that moment is control. And I don't think that will be compatible with you because you want to be in the control seat. Do you understand?
How about if they're like jealous or they got low self-esteem
Well,
or something and they
jealous
got
is
crazy?
good. I mean, you're not jealous if you're not in love.
I'm jealous, I'm not in love. Okay, I think that's sold out on a bumper sticker once. But anyway, LOL. But the thing is, like, I guess I'm trying to, sometimes they, just one more final question. I just think that I'm a little bit not certain of trying to tell someone, hey, look, I just met you, even if I met them in person, but it's kind of like a job interview, but not make them feel like a job interview. Like I
You can just
respect you, but
say,
I'm just.
I'll let you know when I'm ready for that.
Okay. How about if I say, look, I'm just meeting people. I don't know you very well. Let's see how it goes. Let's get to
Yeah,
know each other.
you can say, I mean, you can really say whatever you want. I'm just telling you, it's a bit of a flag.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And I think what you said earlier was very, what you said something about this is like the best results going. So I hear you. Respect. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah. And it'll seem, some of the stuff will seem, huh, what? And it'll sound simple, but then you go do it and it's profound in a way. And you won't, it'll hit different when you do it, when you do some of these things, and then you'll see some of the results for yourself. And that always gives you more confidence. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up now. Here's my credentials one more time. If you want to reach out to me, I'm usually here every Thursday. Just occasionally I have to step out, but I'm usually here every Thursday. We have a great group here on Meetup. It's been over 2 years. I guess this is coming up on the 3rd year. One of the biggest groups, relationship groups, most successful relationship groups on Meetup. Yay! So, yeah, if I don't hear from you during the week, then I will see you back here. I love to answer your questions and also get your updates as well, because it helps everybody to see how you're using this work. What are the nuances? What are the questions? What are the things that are coming up? Because that's, the devil's in the details. Okay, have a good night. I'll see you soon.